cuts it off for another fit. If I will let you down, you'll agree you've got on. Block the night, will it all be over by then? If my reasons were wrong or right, well, the simpler I'd assume to stay. You're on to me, on to me, so I'll be on.
Tune in every other Sunday from 3 to 4 p.m. for Blood on the Saddle with your host, Dan N., for real, authentic country.
I've been really trying. Do you like laughing, hilarity, radical thought-provoking creativity, and laughing? UBC Improv is UBC's home for improvisational comedy, theater made up on the spot. Like us on Facebook to learn when our next shows are. Search for us on YouTube for our film sketches. And follow us on Twitter because we want the followers. UBC Improv. Insert cheesy slogan here. Let's get it on.
Saskatoon singer-songwriter Jen Lane has just released her new album, This Life of Mine, and you're invited to help celebrate. It's been hard moving on. Produced by Vancouver's own, the critically acclaimed John MacArthur Ellis, the new record is a testament to songcraft and the power of music. Spend an evening with Jen Lane on Friday, April 8th at 8 p.m. at Café du Soleil on Commercial Drive, and get a copy of This Life of Mine to take home with you. For advance tickets or to order the album, head on over to jenlane.com.
Let's listen in as one poor soul tries to find something good to enjoy on the radio. Let's see here,
Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance.
Ugh. Everybody. God, this is awful.
Well, I climbed up the mountain, climbed back down again for you. I climbed up the mountain again for you, and then I climbed back down, climbed up.
Isn't there anything, 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 anything?
Listening to the radio these days can be distressing. Fortunately, here at CITR, our programmers choose the music that they play, so our charts reflect what people actually listen to. To find out what's really topping the charts, pick up a copy of Discorder magazine or check us out online at citr.ca. Unless, of course, you'd rather keep listening to the chart-topping single, Everybody Dance.
What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody dance. Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance?
Good evening, you're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC Vancouver. My name is Simon Welton, and coming up in the next half hour is, as always, the White Noise Show, and it's followed by the White Noise After Show. The White Noise After Show consists of basically a bit of chit-chat and a lot of kick-ass music, and I'll be joined by special guest Connor Neckleput, or should I say special friend. How you doing, Connor?
The relationship has advanced to that level, hasn't it?
Well, we always go back.
I'm glad to be someone's special friend. Let's just say that. Man.
Yeah, until Sierra comes back, you just need someone to spoon you a little, do you? Or...
Simon, can you please remove your hand from my breast?
Sorry, it just makes it easier to talk on the radio if I'm touching your breast.
I mean, we have a connection. That it sort of enhances that for sure, yeah, but it's kind of creepy.
Well, I'm... tough shit, it's my show, so I'm gonna touch your breast until I say otherwise.
If I was a woman, this would be sexist.
Yeah, but you're not, so tough shit, so we're just gonna carry on with it anyway. Enough
you
of that,
bastard.
So yeah, that's a preview of the White Noise After Show. We got a little bit more hype.
Yeah, about 10% chit chat, 90% yeah. Bollocks.
We're going to be talking tonight on the after show about the potential for a brokered convention
and
with the Republicans and possibly the Democrats. And we're going to talk about pornography and the ramifications in terms of how has accessibility changed how we approach education towards the subject, especially with teens.
We have actually an expert in the studio this evening with us. He'll be coming in after the show, of course. Simon Welton, really.
Well, Connor claims he doesn't watch porn, so the first thing you need to know about Connor is he's a lying bastard. But we'll talk about that on the after show. Coming up right away is a half hour sketch comedy. It's the White Noise Show. And remember, if you would wish to, and we'd like you to as well, keep up with us throughout the week at White Noise UBC. And that's for Twitter and for Facebook. You can find us at those addresses. And so make sure you like us on Facebook if you enjoy the show, please. And you'll get... Sorry?
It's funny, you know, because everyone has an agenda, don't they? I mean, that's the thing that you learn like, in like level like 100 philosophy class and critical thinking class. Everyone has an agenda. And it's funny that Simon's, he wants you to like his tweets. So yeah, do that for him.
Okay, thanks. My agenda that people like? Yeah, okay.
Okay, let's be serious. You want your tweets to be liked.
No, not...
Don't deny
it. I just want people to follow the White Noise Twitter
sure.
and Facebook, yeah. So we know people are listening. And also, yeah, we do post best of pieces and jokes throughout the week on White Noise on the Twitter feed, and we also
on Facebook.
And we're also posting other information about what we're up to and photos, all sorts of fun stuff. So
but mainly, you need to like Simon's tweets.
So hopefully, without feeling obligated to, hopefully they are enjoyable enough that you just want to push that little heart button. But that's,
make the text go all big.
That's up to you. That's up to you. I do not wish to influence your Twitter.
He's also looking to solicit emails for pornography.
No. Let's just
and
put that to
enhancements
bed right now. All right. So let's get on with it. Let's do the White Noise Show. So without further ado, it's time for some White Noise.
Warning, the following programming contains adult subject matter and some strong language. It is a work of satirical fiction. All characters and advertisements are completely fabricated. Listener discretion is advised.
And welcome to another episode of White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight's episode is brought to you in part by the Knife and Fork Association. If chopsticks are so great, let's see you eat a steak with them. First up tonight, someone is having a pint. Here you go, son. Have a sip.
But I'm not allowed. It's illegal.
So is what you've been doing on my laptop. So have a sip or I'll tell everyone.
All right, fine. But it's not illegal to like Farmville.
I was talking about the porn.
Oh, no, that wasn't me. That was Mum.
Oh, but that's why we got her the iPad. Oi, try the beer.
Fine.
Oh,
That's horrible.
Yeah, of course it is.
But what? But I thought adults liked it.
No. We'd all much rather be drinking Smirnoff Ices and pina coladas and slippery nipples, but we're not allowed. We have to pretend to like beer.
Says who?
Them.
Who?
I don't know. No one knows. But there's nothing we can do.
But it's awful.
I know, but you'll get used to it eventually. Or if you're intellectual enough, you might be able to pull off drinking wine. As you're my son, though, I suggest you get used to drinking beer.
I enjoy a glass of wine with a meal, preferably breakfast. Next up tonight, Carl and Neil are back. Oh my God, Carl, what are you doing?
Cut my toenails.
Yeah, but you have to use your teeth.
What? They're nature's clippers.
Well, if you carry on, I'm about to show you nature's vomit.
Oh, well, what else are we going to do?
We are going to be scalpers.
What, like in Inglourious Basterds?
No, you know, ticket touts. People who buy concert tickets and then rip off other people.
You mean like Ticketmaster?
No, well, sort of, actually, yeah.
Well, where are we going to get the tickets?
I already got them. 10 tickets, front row.
Oh, nice. Who's the act?
The legendary Bill Cosby.
Oh, awesome. Everyone likes Bill.
Ah, no, I can't believe how easy it was to get tickets. I guess I'm just one step ahead of everyone else.
Any luck?
No, not a single sale. Oh, I guess everyone in London's already seen him.
Oh, typical. Or maybe it's because he's a rapist.
What?
You know, he did that thing with the quail's eggs. He put the quails in the girls' drinks, and then while they were distracted, he had sex with them.
When did this happen?
Oh, if I remember correctly, Tuesday, I think.
This week?
No, I don't know which Tuesday. It was one of them.
Well, what are we going to do with 10 Bill Cosby tickets?
Well, we could go and take some girls on a date with us.
To watch a sex offender.
Well, you took that bird to see that Roman Polanski film.
Because it was called Carnage. I thought at least one person would blow up in it.
Well, there must be something we can do with them.
Don't worry about it. I didn't pay for them.
Oh, you nicked them?
Nah, I bought them with your mum's credit card. Don't steal your mum's credit card. Steal your dad's. He gets paid 30% more according to statistics. Next up tonight, people are in bed.
Please stop laughing.
I'm sorry, it's just so tiny.
Yes, I've noticed.
And it's so hairy. It looks like Karl Marx's face.
Well, it's always looked that way.
And it's just looking at me with that gormless expression.
How about now? Is that better?
I'm sorry, I just can't take it seriously.
But it's mine!
So? It's defective. Because of it, we woke up in a soaking wet bed. It has to go.
Fine. I'll put down the dog.
And put some clothes on while you're at it. Ugh.
I tried being a nudist once, but my teacher wouldn't allow it. Next up tonight, it's April Fools.
Morning, Gerald.
Oh, hi. You're up early.
Yeah. You want some muesli?
Oh, no, I'll have my usual.
Come on. You can't just have a Red Bull and a Twix.
And a cigarette.
Here, have this. Muesli with some nice Greek yogurt.
Oh, all right, then. This is actually quite good. Hang on. Does this have peanuts in it?
Ah, gotcha! April Fools! Idiot!
Fred! Fred! Get the pen! My throat's closing!
Oh, shit. Hang on.
Fred! I can see the lights! Oh, wait, no, that's a lamp!
Gerald! I can't find the pen! I got a pencil! Will that do?
The only thing I'm allergic to is a committed relationship and shellfish. Next up tonight, someone is shopping for a book.
Hello,
afternoon. Welcome to Read 'em and Weep. How can I help you?
Hi there. I'm looking for a book.
Okay, any particular kind?
Yes, it's blue.
Do you know who it's by?
No, I'm just imagining a book. And I don't know any real author's names, except for that Brown guy.
Dan Brown?
No, Salman Rushdie.
Do you want one of his books?
Is he funny?
Not really.
Well, do you have something funny?
You could try Oscar Wilde.
As long as it has dick jokes.
Probably not the kind of dick jokes you would appreciate.
Well, do you have anything with, like, car chases and explosions?
We do carry the James Bond novels.
So there's tits.
Maybe some are described?
I need more than described.
How about a publication from the top shelf at the back, then?
Oh, don't be stupid. Nobody actually pays for porn.
Then maybe a detective story?
Like CSI?
Sure, why not?
Can I read it in Horatio's voice?
Why are you asking me?
Oh, I'm just so excited.
Yeah, sure. Will you take it?
Throw in the porn, and you've got a deal.
No, that magazine costs more than the book.
Fine, forget it. I'll just go to the library. Much better porn there.
Shh, okay, be quiet. I'll give you the magazine, just be quiet. I can't afford for my customers to realize there's a library. I'll be ruined. Their porn is amazing.
I like libraries. They remind me of home. Dusty, boring, and full of socially impaired people. Next up tonight, it's medal time.
Well done, boys and girls. You all did so well playing in today's annual soccer tournament. Of course, our winners were the blue team, so they get the very shiny and large first place trophy, the pizza coupons, and the England football signed by the entire national team. And for some reason, it also has Adam Johnson's phone number. Everyone else gets the runners-up prize, a medal made of chocolate. So please eat your sorrows, and don't forget you also get the disappointed looks of your parents. But it's okay. They were shit at sports too, and that's why they had you.
I never liked playing sports as a kid. I much preferred building forts, but actually spent most of my time in courts. Not for tennis, mainly for vandalism, loitering, and the occasional bit of public urination. I have to mark my territory. It keeps other DJs away. Next up tonight, Frankenstein's monster has risen.
You made me. You were my father, and you spurned me. You didn't even create me a woman that I could live with, share my life with, and occasionally bump uglies. So I have taken revenge on you and your family.
No, you beast! What have you done?
I've chopped off their heads.
Oh my God!
Of all your roses.
You bastards!
And I burnt all your women.
Dear God!
Hang on, let me finish. I burnt all your women's baseball gloves in the garage.
No, not my sign, Jackie Mitchell!
And I've eaten
no!
all your Ben and Jerry's.
You animal! How could you? I created you for good!
What good is there to be done by a beast whose only use is to create misleading sentences?
I thought it would be good for parties!
Oh, just get Cards Against Humanity like everyone else. Oh, and by the way, I also ate your daughter, you know, the good-looking one.
I always wanted to be an evil scientist, but I just ended up being evil. Next up tonight, it's an advert.
From the people who brought you tampons for men, real hot dogs, and easy bake heroin, comes the newest in pharmaceutical study aids, Read It All. Made of all toxic ingredients, its unproven formula blends Western medicine with blind guessing to create blinding results. Literally, the first few people went blind. But since then, many have gone on to have mildly better grades, with only some minor PTSD. You may find yourself having some minor flashbacks to a war you never in, but that B- will be well worth it, kind of. So, don't go to class. Take Read It All.
Warning, side effects include nipple tenderness, toe sweating, female erections, itchy feet, anal squeakage, torn ACLs, and also may cause excessive drinking of urine.
I think I'll stick to failing classes. My nipples are already tender enough. Next tonight we return to my childhood.
Richard? Richard? Dick?
Don't call me that.
Why haven't you done the dishes?
Oh, I just got in from school, so I'm having a ciggy first.
For goodness sake, you're 14 years old. It's about time you gave up the fags.
What? No, Grandad smoked when he was like 7, and he was well old. He was like 33.
That's not that old, Richard.
Well, I'm sorry if I have a very warped sense of age, but you're only 24.
Well, that's another thing. It's about time you found a woman to marry, or all the easy ones will be gone. You'll end up 40, alone, and hairy.
Never. I'm going to become an evil scientist and build me a woman with, like, massive computers, so she's, like, well smart and, like, a tight range of movements and like a very spankable ass.
Richard, you can't even finish your Legos.
I told you I wasn't ready to give up Duplo. I'm slow developing.
Oh, it's all right, darling. Mummy's got you. Here, have one of mine.
Oh, thanks, Mum. I love king size.
Anything for my fourth favourite son.
There's only 3 of us. I never did give up cigarettes, but I did give up speaking to my mother. Next up tonight, someone's in trouble.
Hello, Jonathan. Please sit down.
Yes, Mr. Kent.
So, I assume you know why you're here.
If it's about the fight, that custodian was asking for it.
No, and in future, please refrain from assaulting the support staff, even if they deserve a good kicking. However, my concern today is with the story you handed in English.
Oh, is it the character development? I thought it was a bit weak.
No, it was just that it was entirely plagiarised.
What? No!
You handed in A Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens.
This is slander.
No, it isn't. It was still in the original cover. You just crossed out Charles Dickens.
Look, I didn't think anyone would notice. I mean, I figured it was only worth a B anyway. It's rubbish.
This is a piece of classic English literature.
Well, I could write something better than that.
Then why didn't you try?
Because I'm lazy.
Oh, why can't you be more like your friend Alan? He handed in a wonderful piece entitled The Lord of the Rings. Must have taken him ages.
I never read Lord of the Rings, but for some reason, my mates used to call me Gimli. Last up tonight, Elvis and Dolly are back.
Welcome back, Elvis and Dolly. Your next mission, if you choose to accept it, is to take out the leader of the Canadian Mafia.
There's a Canadian Mafia? What do they leave, like a moose head in your bed?
I think they prefer caribou, but yeah, pretty much. And I hear they're very apologetic when they break your kneecaps.
Manners cost nothing.
Who the hell are you?
Dolly Parton.
I thought you were Irish.
No, that's Bono. Dolly is the one with the boobs.
Right, the one with the giant penis.
No, that's Rasputin.
Elvis, how can you not remember me?
Did we have sex?
No.
There's your problem.
Well, if you're quite done, your mission is to assassinate Harvey Ellis, leader of the Canadian Mafia. Our intel says he'll be in Halifax for a sale tomorrow, when they will be selling 20 kilos of Ontario black tar.
Heroin?
No, maple syrup. Really pure shit, apparently.
Oh, fuck you, man. My kind of crime. All right, Dolly, you grab some guns. I'm gonna get some pancake batter. Goddamn, it's cold.
Well, if you'll insist on wearing your white and gold jumpsuit.
Hey, this is an outfit for all occasions, including the occasional dying of pneumonia.
Whatever, but don't blame me when you get frostbite on your testicles.
Is that a thing?
I guess we'll soon find out.
Ah, whatever. How are we gonna take this poutine chopping hoser down?
Well, we could just go for the long-range sniper shot.
Or we could use C4.
Elvis, I still don't have any eyebrows from last time we did that.
Ah, chill out. It's cheaper than waxing.
Yes, it did wonders for my mustache, but still.
Shh. Car's coming.
I think it's them.
How can you tell?
It's the first time I've seen anyone in a suit not made of denim.
They're stopping.
Definitely them, and they're armed.
All right, better use a sniper rifle then. Keep this simple.
Let's just keep this real simple. Both of you stand up and turn around real slow.
Aw, crap. Holy shit, nicely done. But couldn't you have done that quietly?
Get down!
Let me get someone to aim at.
Not the C-
Did I get him?
No, I think one of them is still alive. Let's go see.
Dear God, there is syrup everywhere. It's like being at Melissa McCarthy's house.
Oh my God, it's Bono!
My legs! You broke me fucking legs again!
What the hell are you doing here?
I'm undercover for MI6. I was doing the Canadian Secret Service a favor.
Who were you working with?
Drake. That's him. That puddle on the ground.
Well, this is quite the sticky situation. Oh, God, I'm funny. Oh, come on, guys. You lost your sense of humor?
No, just my fucking legs!
The only thing Elvis ever seems to get right is his choice of outfit. I'd wear a white jumpsuit too, but I just end up looking like a fat Lady Gaga. That's the end of our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, starring the voice talents of Connor Neckleput, Caitlin Docking, and Simon Welton. Guest writing by Connor Neckleput.
Right, there you go. That was the White Noise Show. I hope you enjoyed that half-hour sketch comedy. That half-hour will be back next week at 11, as always. Coming up right away is the White Noise After Show, hosted by myself and joined by special friend Connor Neckleput, who is here in the studio right now. So, what did you think of that episode, Connor?
Well, porn, maple syrup and soccer trophies, huh? I wonder what Simon was up to this weekend.
and low blows at Melissa McCarthy, but...
Yeah, that was mean. You should retract that.
Never. No.
Never!
I think of all the things we've done, that's probably the least offensive thing we possibly have said.
Well, so. unlike the sketch from last week, that lasted about 10 seconds and didn't contribute anything to...
Well, it was about your imagination.
Some people were probably still offended.
Yeah, maybe just because it was three men in a bed, they got offended, but even then, they're on the wrong side of history, so tough, but...
That should be your next sitcom, Three Men in a Bed.
Just them sitting in a bed talking. Yeah. Wasn't there a comics who did that?
Three Men in a Boat was a
was
thing.
Was it Morecambe and Wise used to be in a bed together?
Oh, did they? Okay. I think Charlie and the Chocolate Factory style, I like it.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Yeah, what was up with those old people who just didn't get out of bed?
You know, like, you know when you were like 8 and you didn't think about it too much, and now that you're 25, you're kind of like, whoa.
Well, yeah, because I just feel bad for the mum, because she's like breaking her ass to feed five people.
I mean, not sure how you break your ass, but if she'd gone and done it, wow.
Look, you know, she seemed to be using the least effective washing machine methods possible in her like weird shed where she cleaned grey rags.
And probably, like, you know...
He's raising his eyebrows. I don't know what it means either, but...
she ran a maple syrup distillery.
All right, so we're going to play some music and then we'll come back. And I'd say we've got some big topics tonight to talk about.
Porn!
Lots of good music. Yes, that is one of the topics. Connor was very excited about porn for a man who apparently never, ever watches it.
Panama Papers!
He's so excited to talk about the, you know, arguably like an excitingly dry subject, but we could talk about the Panama Papers.
Football
as well.
Trophies!
And something no one cares about except
Connor. I'm Matt Berry!
He's just going to say weird stuff till I put music on. All right, this is Long Distance Runners, and You Gotta Remind Me.
By the door. All right, that was Middle Sisters with The Devil in the Song.
Those are pretty groovy tracks, actually. Not that they shouldn't be, but I was enjoying those.
Yeah. The first one especially. I think we played something from their album before, but I'm glad we did again. Yeah, Long Distance Runners. That was the first artist. So go check them out on their album Element. All right, so our first topic for tonight is going to be the possibility that has become more and more of a possibility, especially in the last week, of a brokered convention at the Republican National Convention when it occurs in the summer.
Is that in June?
Yeah, June or July. So that's where they officially pick their nominee. And, of course, the frontrunners right now are either Trump or Cruz. And Trump has been, obviously, ahead for a long time. But Cruz won in Wisconsin recently. And there's a lot of possibility that he'll do well in the northeastern sort of. There's quite a few like New York and places like that, and I think New Jersey who haven't voted yet, and he's expected to do well. So what this means,
but Trump's from New York, is it hometown support?
Yeah,
I mean, even if he betrays all the principles that New Yorkers embody.
But what you have to understand is that New York is a typically Democrat voting area. So what he's appealing to is the Republicans within that area, and they are
so like the economic Republican, like the economic
and they're generally going to go for someone who is a more
less racist.
No, Cruz is pretty much equally.
I was going to say like it's not that much of a difference.
Someone who's more a party establishment, which is weird because Cruz, if Trump wasn't there, would not be. Would not be considered a party establishment person because he isn't.
He's a Tea Party.
He is totally he's been a big figure in the gridlock in Congress in helping support filibustering and blocking any legislation that went through on principle rather than on facts or what is important. But anyway, going to the convention, it looks like now Trump won't get enough votes to be automatically made the chosen representative to run for the presidency. So what this means then is they'll have a first round of voting at the convention, and in theory, the people who go there as delegates based on who voted for what in each state are meant to replicate that in the first round of voting. And as we said, if someone doesn't have a majority, it wouldn't, nothing would pass on the first round. So then you have a second round, and all of a sudden, you can change who you vote for. You don't have to vote for the person that you've been told based on your riding and what they voted for to vote for. So, not just could it be Cruz, it could literally be anybody else, as long as they won, I think it's five states in the initial voting round. But even then, that is a rule that they could change because it's just a party rule. It's not a federal rule. It's something that they imposed themselves a few years ago. So they could quite easily just remove that rule and have someone who's not even run so far. Like, people are talking about Paul Ryan, who basically is like the reincarnation of Ayn Rand. Some people want him to be
Jeb Bush.
Well, he won't now because he dropped out.
He even running?
Didn't
seem like it.
Spent a hell of a lot of money.
Not from the results he got.
If you're watching American TV, you would have noticed he was running, but it didn't help. It's very possible that Cruz could be the nominee, and it's very possible that Kasich could be the nominee. But what's even more fascinating, arguably, is what then will happen once they do that. Because obviously, if they don't put in Trump, they're going against the wishes of the majority of Republican voters.
Trump then just forms his own Trump party.
Well, exactly. Does he run as an independent then? He could quite well, because he, will have enough momentum to at least think. And if he's upset, he may want to do it.
He'd be
just
upset
out of spite.
He would definitely do that. Yeah, no, absolutely.
The other option is that he.
That's funny because if you did that out of spite, to seek some sort of vengeance on the establishment of their party. What do you do? So obviously you run as an independent and say, ha, I have lots of votes. But like, he can't change his platform because that's what Gore's gotten in the votes thus far. So he can't exactly differentiate himself. Just kind of go like, meh, fuck you guys.
Yeah, and that's happened.
Hey guys, that stuff I said about abortion, jokes. Like, no one's going to vote for him after that. And he's only going to lose votes. And people, Republicans, go,
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, he could stick to the platform he's used. He could manipulate it. I mean, he's flip-flopped already, so he could change things. Like, that's...
He's going to start running on the Democratic nomination again.
No, I mean, we'll be curious. But the other thing is, he could win, and then other Republicans who are more establishment could decide to run their own candidate or do something, or, you know, create a separate party. Because, I mean, there's a lot of people like that. You just have to watch the sort of reactions you got from people like Lindsey Graham, who very briefly ran in the election. And then he recently went on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, and Trevor Noah asked him some questions about the Republican Party. And he didn't, for once, it was very refreshing to see what seemed like the most honest Lindsey Graham you've ever seen, in that he said, our party is screwed up. Like, our party is a mess. We're so disenfranchised and fractured. And we are, like, you know, we're in real dire straits. And, you know, of course, many people say this has been a long time coming, and Trump is arguably the creation of, you know, it's their own fault. They've run this subtext.
He's their own Frankenstein.
Well, yeah, Frankenstein's monster.
Most people don't know the nuances, though. So
yeah, because they've run with this.
This isn't highbrow or
anything. Yeah, they've run with this whole... idea of, like, it's been like subtext of racism and sexism and homophobia, you know, based on religion or whatever perfectly made excuses there for them to use. So that's why Trump has appealed to so many people in the Republican base, is because that they, you know, this was the Southern strategy where Reagan used and Nixon and all these people, but he's just been really blunt about it. And it's lost maybe moderates that were either duped or didn't think, you know, that people genuinely were as hateful as that, or had that, you know, were doing it for just economic reasons. Whatever the facade was they used, that seems to have lifted now. So hopefully it will be, it will mean that the Republicans will do terrible in this election, and then they hopefully will do what they actually claimed they were going to do in 2012, which was reassess what their identity was as a party to appeal to a wider, more diverse audience.
I think we need to agree that we're more homophobic and more racist than we've been portraying ourselves to be in recent elections.
They literally went the opposite way. Even the puppet master himself, Karl Rove, said we need to find a way to appeal to people besides our traditional base. And that was why they wanted Mark Rubio to be leading it, and they lost him,
irreparably.
Yeah, thank goodness, because he was kind of awful, and he wasn't a good legislator. Like, he never passed anything. He never went to Congress. Like, the guy was kind of useless, even by Republican standards. So,
at least he wasn't Ben Carson.
So it's going to be really interesting to watch this brokered convention, because it will be brokered. Like, it doesn't look like Trump will get the majority vote before they go to the ballot there. So, yeah, I mean, what do you think? Do you think they're gonna allow him to be the leader?
It's difficult to know, you know, because you wouldn't have suspected necessarily that he was going to get the votes he did, and now he's not getting the votes that you would have then predicted on his momentum. So it's tough to call. I still feel he represents... He's popular enough that he evidently represents a significant faction within the Republican Party in... at least if you mix and mash certain sort of political, social, economic views.
Yep.
But yeah, it's tough to say, right? Because as Graham alluded to,
Lindsey,
Lindsey Graham.
I thought you said never mind.
And his buddy Graham. As he alluded to, the party's fractured, and I think it's obvious to see that. And that doesn't mean they can't do well. It means that it's difficult to see what's going to happen. Because they nominate a candidate, and if it is Trump, then. I mean, he's the best bet. If they choose anyone else, then they're shooting themselves in the foot.
But that's the thing. Like, the people in charge know that he isn't the best bet. Otherwise, they would take him. If they thought he could win a national election,
well, it's just that they have no control over him. Because he can afford to parasite off of them, but then also run his own shit, really.
But the thing is, I mean, you still have to pass things through both houses. And this is the thing, is the President of the United States has less power relative in his party than you get in Canada or Britain. And that he's still, you know, which is why as much as Obama has went in with one of the most progressive agendas in 2008 has done barely any of what he said he would do.
He's actually done a lot, though. I mean, considering his circumstances.
Yeah, you know, but if we look at his... Okay, let's go back and look at his original platform. It was closed Gitmo. It was universal healthcare.
Which was attempts for war.
It was... The thing that passed was originally a Republican idea that Mitt Romney suggested in the 2008 election as a reply to the real plan that Obama had. And even then, when it passed, they're calling it Obamacare and stuff. It's like, you guys have forgotten, like, the last 2 years?
I mean, like, it's still progress. If you took anyone's word at face value, what's the phrase? If you say, okay, any president is going to say stuff that they will not be able to fill. That is the reality of the situation because they're trying to appeal to voters. They don't know what they're in for, and they're optimistic.
And that's the thing, is when he got to Washington, he realized that it wasn't...
This is shit.
It doesn't sound like that. He's from Chicago. He realized the legislation would be difficult to pass. And that's why, you know, that's why I say with Trump, you know, that would also be the case, that he wouldn't be able to just do whatever he wanted, or at least without breaking several...
At the same time, I mean, but you wonder also, what's Trump's game, though? What does he want? Because he's been between parties before. He obviously doesn't have a established political... social, perhaps economic, but not political and social views. He seems to be tailoring to his audiences.
He definitely has an economic agenda, a personal economic agenda.
Yeah, but like, so, yeah, what? So he gets to be president. What does he get? I mean, maybe he doesn't want to pass laws. Maybe he wants to do other shit. I don't know. Like, what is his game? Why does he want to be president? I don't really fancy he wants to fix America. I don't think he could give a shit. I mean, he's American, but like, yeah, he's rich.
Well, I think,
and he wants, and he's an egotistical, maniac, but
And he'd want to leave it to the private sector. He would, you know, that's what he believes is more efficient. So he would probably remove several, as Republicans want to do, he'd probably get rid of certain, or at least the power and the scale of certain departments, such as the EPA, the Center for Disease Control, like things like that, which are vital things. I'm sure he would reduce the impact and the value of those things. But the thing is, like, the reason the Republicans don't want him to win is not just because of not controlling him, but because they know he doesn't have national appeal, because he can't bridge the gap between Republicans and Democrats. The reason that you have someone like...
Can any president do that, arguably?
No, what I'm saying is someone like Mitt Romney, when he was running, kind of looks like someone that, like, most Americans... You know,
could begrudgingly accept.
Accept him, like, he, you know, he's a Mormon, so he's, you know, they claim that then he must have, like, morality.
He's diversity.
And you know, and he's an honest guy, and he's a family man, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Because you have to remember, there are your diehards who will always vote the same way, but there are swing states, and there are a lot of undecided voters out there who will change who they vote for year to year. And, you know, someone like Trump, though, like, he's so unpopular with minorities and with women that he doesn't have the numbers. Like, he may have 40% of Republicans, but that's not 40% of America. And so he's not going to get the majority vote against Hillary, against Sanders, against anybody literally on the Democratic ticket. So they know if they let him run, they've lost the election before it starts.
But I would counter that and saying, but he's the one who's giving them the best results so far. So... if they choose someone else, obviously a lot of people prefer Trump to the other candidates. So you could say, I see your point, but the only other candidates they can provide are ones who at this point have less support. And you can maybe argue, the party will come together and they'll support, and there's perhaps a bit more minority support for some of the other candidates. I don't know. I just feel either way they do it, like, they're not going to win.
I quite agree. Like, I'm sure they realized as soon as Jeb Bush dropped out that they were screwed, because that was their perfect candidate for them, which was someone who seemed electable to not just Republicans but arguably to undecided voters. And as soon as he dropped out the race, they were already scratching their head. That's why you saw people like
scratching their heads.
Like, what's his name? Governor of New Jersey.
Chris Christie.
Chris Christie, like, jumped on the... It was so bad. He jumped on the Trump train, and literally, he just looked like a lapdog sat there beside him as he's giving a speech.
He does what he needs to do to get into power.
But we know that he was so against Trump for what he ran, that he was just an opportunistic and just like, well,
He's from New Jersey. What else can he be?
Just jump on the bandwagon. Who gives a damn? Which, you know, is a shame in a way, because I had respect for him, because he did seem like, no matter if I disagree with his principles, he seemed like he gave a damn about the people that he was elected to look after, and like, you know, when they had the hurricane, was it Sandy?
Sandy, yep.
That, like, he seemed to do a great job in the support there, and he worked tirelessly to help the people in New Jersey. So. I was really disappointed to see him do that, but yeah, it's opportunistic, and he as kind of guy he is, he's like, well, sod it, I'll, you know, might as well get in there and get a good job in the new cabinet and whatever. Like, if this is the train that's leaving and it's the only one,
you could be because pretending your principles, but there's no reason you can't, get a job and toe the line to make sure he keeps a job in the cabinet, but still push his agenda in ways. So, I mean, it's... You could easily say, like, call him out and saying, oh, yeah, you're a bit of a lapdog. But at the same time, like, he knows where he needs to be, and he knows what he wants to do. And there perhaps are ways to reconcile, like, if he's not looking likely to be the one.
Yeah.
It's interesting. How do you feel about the Democratic convention?
Well, that, again, like, it's been interesting because... At different times, we've heard the media say it's over, Clinton's won, you stop even worrying about Sanders.
Tell me my Facebook feed, keep trying to tell me that, and keep trying to tell me that it's lies.
Well, that's the interesting thing, and then you've got, on the other side, people going, oh, actually, there is enough votes. And also, you have to remember that the superdelegates, which are people that have, they're like senior Democratic officials in each state, actually go to the convention with votes. Which is weird because it's meant to be democracy, but then we have like.
I mean, I guess the idea is like a expert opinion kind of vote.
But they're also meant to not go against the majority, which is why you could see this turn of events in that you could see them go to the convention and decide, no, Sanders is the popular candidate, switch over, and he wins the majority vote in the first round. Mm-hmm. That is a possibility. So, yeah, So you would think it isn't over yet. I mean, one thing that still perplexes me is that Sanders is struggling and has struggled with states where there is a larger diversity of population.
Yeah. He's not the one in the South, bizarrely.
Yeah, which I really struggle with this because his platform, you know, is about, tackling people who've been... education and in education and in health have been disadvantaged traditionally.
Yeah.
So there should be a lot of support from
people
who feel like they, you know, and they have been exploited. So
in the Mississippis and the Alabamas and the Arkansas.
Well, I mean,
that's Arkansas, isn't that where Hillary Clinton's from?
Yeah, I mean, it's
Oh, Bill Clinton, at least.
But, you know, in any state, though, I just don't understand why he would, why he would only do better in the states with a more white population. That, to me, is really perplexing because I don't see how Hillary's platform appeals to people more than his done.
One of her qualifications, I suppose, is that, I mean, yeah, she is kind of establishment. She's been in the game. She's been, like, right at the top, kind of. So maybe people see that as...
Yeah, but Bernie's been in there 25, 26 years he's been in Congress.
Yeah, and it's funny because you could really argue that those two statistics, or like kind of those two perspectives, any which way, and kind of make your own argument work. He's been in there longer, so therefore he's more establishment. No, but he's been longer. But he's always been on the fringes. He hasn't been doing much.
I mean, he's always been an independent.
Yeah, it's tough to really draw any. Some people might see her as having been the first, having been the Secretary of State, and may say that's the experience I feel personally. I want the president to have, not being the outlier who's now become popular. Maybe that's what some people might be thinking.
But it's a bit of a fallacy to call him an outlier. Yes, he's been an independent, but he's been integral in passing legislation and pushing for important progressive bills. He has had it easy in terms of being reelected because he's in a very liberal state of Virginia.
Vermont.
Virginia. Whoops.
State of Virginia.
You know, Valhalla. That's what he said. So, he's done well because of that in terms of staying in power. But I mean,
has he had much opposition? You wonder. I mean, well, like, saying, he's doing such a good job that no one's like, you know what? I fancy I'd run against him. Like, no one's.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the complete history of it, but
he's murdered and cajoled his way to the.
But you know,
is he a senator or congressman? A representative? He's a representative.
I think he's in the House of Representatives, I believe. The thing I wanted to say was that, there's so many times that we bring up their, because they've both been in there quite a while, we can bring up their legislative records and what they voted for. And just the Panama Papers, another brand new topic.
Yeah.
And it has just reinforced what a lot of people are seeing, which is, what did Hillary say about it? Hillary said that going back 4 years, a related topic was they had the Panama Trade Agreement.
Yeah.
And Hillary came out and said, this is great for America, this is great for people, for jobs, blah, blah, blah. It's great.
I mean, can we disprove that?
And then Bernie, at the same time, his comments on it were, this is terrible. This is actually just increasing the amount of offshore banking and the corruption, and you are just fueling the fire. This is not helping Americans. And that's exactly what was proven this week Panama Papers. Because
it showed proved that they were the people, again, who we've already admitted, we basically knew were so many offhand anyway. But I mean, but can we dispute the fact that actually it may have done some good for Americans and people in Panama as well? I mean, I think it's easier to say, well, hey, Bernie, he saw what was going to happen. I mean, also good on him, like great forevision, great insight. I mean, maybe it wasn't instant, maybe it was very blatantly obvious what the kind of outcome of that would be. But it might be difficult to say that Clinton was wrong on what she said. She obviously was looking at it from a different perspective.
But the thing is, if she is high up enough, you mean the people that she's. You know, she's doing dinners for Wall Street. She, getting paid six figures to go talk to these guys. So these are the kind of guys who are doing the sort of offshore banking. Like, she is mixing with them, so she knows exactly what's going on. Trust me.
I mean, she knows how to play the game, I suppose. Yeah, she knows how to get votes.
And, I mean, her and Clinton have been extremely wealthy for 20 years. Mm. So you're not telling me someone at one point hasn't said to her, hey, if you put your money in Panama or... you know, any of these places we can.
Well, I mean, her name didn't come up so far. There's 11 million documents. It might come up one day.
Because if you're running for president, you'd be insane to do that.
I know David Cameron's faced some stuff recently. He said to deny that he has had investments, although apparently his dad did, in this Panamanian law firm. So he's had to withstand criticism. I haven't seen it directed at Clinton yet, but I have seen the argument you've just made, the fact that Bernie saw this coming. Yeah. I have seen that.
Anyway, let's go for a song, and then we'll come back and play. We'll talk some more.
Play some pornography.
We're gonna talk about porn next, so get excited.
Stay tuned.
Get really excited.
Why Noise Does Porno.
Coming up right away is Blonde Elvis with No Cause for Alarm.
He gave me a rose.
All right, there you go. That was Buckets Of with Radiator. Another good tune.
Yeah, you have some solid songs today.
And Blonde Elvis. I really
that was a good one. Yeah, I mean,
I like that whole album.
We're biased, but I've liked what we've found today. We have some fun music, you know, in the hour before we go and up to
don't explain.
To air,
don't reveal our methodology. People might steal it.
Oh shit, you're right.
Just panically, yeah. Panically.
But we selected some good albums, and they came up. I think they're promising. We've come up with some good ones.
Yeah. So
anyway, enough fan boating.
Enough patting ourselves on the back.
Yeah.
Let's go down to
Please,
the important
keep your hand
stuff.
Off my back.
I know you're really excited to talk about this, but we're going to talk about porn education. So what we mean by this is, I read an article recently that was interesting. That was talking about how. There are concerns. It was an article about Australian girls, and there was concerns about the way that boys around their same age, 15, 16, behave towards them. And there was concerns that this was because of the way that women are portrayed in pornography. And men too, and how men are portrayed. And people, you know, reading it, you know, trying to reflect on their behavior, then reflecting
it's media
this sort of behavior. So you can start, and then I'll tell you what I think about it. But what do you think is the solution to this? Do we ban porn, or is it about education?
You know, it's a weird one, isn't it? It's like one of those things that I don't think anyone's gonna sort of come out and defend the fact that it's probably unhealthy for young people in the midst of the development. I mean, certain adults can enjoy it either alone or together, and that can be fine because they're experienced and they know how to separate the reality from the fiction and the exaggerated from the reality, I guess. But yeah, when you have like impressionable kids who have fairly easy access to it, really. I know some sites, you know, try to keep it like 18 plus, but you gotta
tick the box,
yeah, exactly.
And then click enter.
Legally, I agree, and no one's gonna sue me ever, because why would they? So I feel like there should be some efforts made to try and stop kids from being able to access it like that. But then, of course, you also face the issue of and I'm not saying necessarily ban it, but maybe through education. Try to explain to them why it's unhealthy, perhaps at that age, or maybe just at all. I don't know. But you do have that. You can just therefore reinforce the kind of taboo nature of it. Maybe it isn't taboo anyway, and then you drive more people to do it because it's out of line, because they're rebelling, and that doesn't help the situation at all. So I guess honest conversations about reality and how to approach relationships and sexual situations, romantic situations, is best. And that, yeah, it's complicated because everyone develops at different rates. So when, I mean, do you introduce that in grade 7 when, you know, they have kids who are like almost like a year older than other kids who might be trying some stuff? Yeah, it's difficult to know. But I think just, yeah, just education is important in that regard. It's probably the best way to go through it.
Well, I would argue that, yeah, what I would suggest is that around 15 or 16, what needs to be done is, as you would have sex education in school where you're shown how to use a condom and other forms of contraception, there should also be a section there which is explaining what pornography is in terms of that it isn't the reality of sex with a partner. What it is a fabrication, and it can come in many different forms. And that's the hard thing about having this conversation, is there isn't one type of pornography. You have a romantic style of pornography where, you know, it's tasteful, a loving situation, and it's gentle, and it's you know, it's passionate. But then you
makes you sad more than horny.
And then you have other stuff which is violent or borderline incestuous,
bestial,
or you know, you could get all, and even not even, I'm not even talking about like
fake
the
boobs,
deep dark parts of the internet. I'm talking about mainstream pornography where the man is overly aggressive towards a woman, and you know, and or, you know, border, you know, it's arguably like it's almost like rape fantasies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that needs to be explained, and what it needs to be explained as is like this, you know, can be done in role playing and things like that if you wanted to, but that is something you have to do as consenting adults.
You need to like talk about
it
beforehand.
And it's that isn't what normal, and you need to understand that pornography is not normal sex. In normal sex, you don't always stop at the end to come on her face. Like, you need to know that most girls aren't expecting you to do that. So at least talk
Spider-Man
about doing it first. You know, don't surprise her with that one.
Most real sex lasts about like less than a minute.
And even for the sake of the men, there's certain things I think that should be explained. Like, a man's penis is not usually the size of your arm. Like,
he's on Viagra and steroids and lots of protein supplements.
And it's okay that you don't have a six pack. And women don't look like that. Normally, like women have hair. That's okay.
Yeah.
That's because they're human. Women, you know, like sometimes men and women can have blemishes around their groin, things like that. Like, don't be.
Sometimes they can laugh and smile and tell jokes.
Women's vaginas make sounds sometimes, and it's okay. And
sometimes men's penises make sounds. And smell a bit.
It's all sorts of things that, you know, in a very sensible way, need to be explained to children, because otherwise you end up with a very distorted idea of what sex is. And, you know, whether that can lead to rape or just to dysfunctional sexual relationships.
Yeah,
which is
damaging sexual relationships at a point. I mean, if it's like, hey, my first relationship, do you want to have sex? It's like day one. I mean, that can only set you up for more emotional harm, which then harms the rest of your development, the rest of your percentage.
There's a two-sided coin there too, because if you make too much of a big deal out of it, it can put a lot of pressure on the relationship, and then, you know, if it's building up to that and then it isn't great, then it can damage the relationship. So
people just need to be less insecure, man. People just need to stop giving
You know, but, you know, so, like, it needs to be talked about, and questions, you know, kids need to be able to ask lots of questions, and not just, you know, grow up by only talking about sex with your friends and what you see in pornography and television, because it's going to give you, as I say, a very distorted outlook, and that isn't healthy. It isn't healthy at all.
Do you think in this plan of yours, which I agree with, I think you make some good points, would you say that in this section of the sex education class they should actually watch pornography?
I don't think you need to. I don't think that's necessary. I think that you I think you just simply have to refer to, you know, styles and themes and maybe some of the sort of experiences that occur in it, or, you know, what sort of different things they do in the, like, you can get into some detail with it, I think, but I don't really think you need to see it. I think that could be traumatic for those who haven't already. You've got to have some sensitivity towards everybody in this situation.
You do, but that's funny, because I mean, I absolutely agree. You have some kids, right? You say 15, 16, you still got some kids who've probably seen it all. And probably should benefit from that. They should, you know, they should be re-educated. They should be refreshed on, like, hey, that stuff you've seen isn't, like, that's not real. That's not appropriate unless you're in a very consenting and understanding relationship. There's another that. There's many kids who have maybe seen porn once and gone, ah, and close their eyes. And by addressing these topics, I think you should. I'm not saying that you shouldn't, but I wonder if it'll almost then just pique their interest more.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think into, even...
Like, I don't know. I mean, because, yeah, I don't know.
I don't think you have to focus on even the negativity in terms of all the problems with pornography as much as you need to focus on the importance of quality in real relationships and the important qualities of that relationship and how how a sexual act would occur between two people and what that kind of looks like, not so much going into positions or anything, but
hey,
just,
you have dolls and stuff.
Yeah, but talking about making sure both people...
This is a 6-inch dildo.
Making sure that both people are having fun and are having pleasure. Because that's one problem that people always complain about in porn is that it's very male-orientated in terms of gratification. Which is an interesting thing because, personally, I've watched lots of porn growing up, even from a young age. And I still, I never went into sex being like, it's all about me. Yeah. I still, after watching porn was like, I want to gratify a woman like that. I want to hear those noises.
Yeah, exactly.
Come
out
of a woman. I want to pleasure
knows
her.
What's up. Yeah.
In those, I want to make her scream in a good
Whoa,
way.
Okay,
in a good
okay,
way.
Okay. Good, yeah.
And
she can be of any race or ethnicity or sexuality. No, she has, if she's having sex with you, she should definitely be bisexual or heterosexual.
The more the merrier, in terms of...
orgies. Simon wants an orgy.
One at a time, but, the more the merrier.
Get in line, lads. Get in line, lasses.
Ladies.
Yeah, well, I'm not trying to... I don't know. I don't know what your sexuality is. I don't assume it's just... heterosexual.
Well, it is, but
fluid.
I'm sure there's, as we've talked about before, it's certain people, if they
say they want to bum you, then you might say yes.
If Leonardo DiCaprio wants to have sex with me, I would probably be like, yeah, go on then.
Be like, yeah, can I have your autograph instead?
Come on, that's a better story.
You can sign my penis.
You're in the pub and you're like, I got Leonardo DiCaprio's autograph. One person's going to turn around and go, oh, please tell me about it. If you stand up in a pub and go, I fuck Leonardo DiCaprio, everyone's buying you a drink.
Yeah, which all that makes you is an attention whore.
Well, just...
You know what I say? You stalk Leo DiCaprio to get him to bum you, so you can go to some random pub and tell the 5 people who still go to pubs that you shagged him, and then they're going to go, whoa, buy some points.
Oh, or even, I'm talking, it's a good party story.
A good party story,
You're playing that two truths and a lie, You're like, oh.
I shagged Johnny Depp, I shagged Chris Hemsworth, I shagged Leo DiCaprio.
Which one's not true? Let's finish talking
about
my sexuality.
Do you think, so on this thread, do you think, because I don't think this is a thing, at least in the sort of standardized education, I think that you and I have probably been through, more classes, a class, or more classes, perhaps thematically, towards human interactions, perhaps mixing sociology, psychology, and stuff, perhaps not just your typical kind of social studies, should actually be built in towards actually looking at relationships and... not as explicitly between two people, but maybe as a unit on relationships, again, including perhaps sociological elements, perhaps psychological elements, but a unit particularly, because of the topic we're on, about relationships and emotional relationships and how sex plays into that and how other bits and pieces play into that. So people, no one wants to be taught how to have sex necessarily or how to be a good boyfriend or a good girlfriend or a good partner. Maybe there's something to that, because I think a lot of people probably don't think about things, and then they get themselves caught in situations. Perhaps a class, and I don't think it'd be a cool class by any means, it wouldn't be like woodworking or whatever, but a class that helps to...
You might have some wood in it.
Well, you probably have a lot of wood if they're doing it right. A class that's built towards helping kids and developing children understand what relationships are, why they're important, how to make them work, how to overcome difficulties, how to realize when it's not working out, and how to perhaps disengage. How do you feel about that?
It's a tough one to build a curriculum for, maybe, but not if you just approach it from a sort of social psychology aspect. And it's interesting you say that, because I've been taking a 300-level social psych course this year. And yeah, there are definitely elements of it that I think would be good for everybody to, things like understanding things like the innateness of certain prejudice and like and just, you know, instant reactions that you have to different groups and people, and how, you know, I think if people are more conscious of that behavior and they, you know, then that's how cognitive behavioral therapy works, is by becoming aware of what you're doing wrong, or maybe you didn't even realize you were doing something wrong. You can then correct the behavior and relearn something that maybe is not a good behavior or a good thought. And so it could be done. I mean, it's tough because your current curriculum is very full because there's such an emphasis on education, sciences, and mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, in Canada, they don't even have separate geography and history until you get to grade 12, and then you have history and geography. But until then, you have social studies, which means then the quality of geography in this country is kind of rubbish, and the quality of history is equally...
I mean, just buy a map.
Equally...
I mean, like basic, like, where countries are geography is
map.
Easy to...
My six-figure grid references have come in so handy.
If you're talking about human geography, absolutely. I mean, that gets
I know a stalactite from a stalagmite, and that will save me one day.
It probably will when you find yourself in a situation with Leonardo DiCaprio and what could be a stalactite.
I'm in a cave.
A
Am I on the roof? Am I on the floor? I need to know.
All you know is that maple syrup's involved.
Yeah, and it's a sticky situation if you're hanging out with Melissa McCarthy.
Keep coming back to that one. You're proud of that joke, aren't you?
It cracked me up when I thought of it.
Venomous.
All right, that is our time for tonight. We're going to leave you with two songs. One I picked. We're going to play War Baby with Master Blaster.
Master Blaster.
And then we're going to play Connor's pick, which would you like to introduce it, Connor?
Can you hand me the album again?
He is... hounded me to play this song tonight, and he can't even remember.
Well,
who
no, because I wanna pronounce the name right, and I know I'm gonna butcher it anyway. This is a African Quebecois artist named, I think, Elage Diouf, or Elage Diouf maybe. And the song we'll be playing for you is gonna be called Fula Ak Fida. It's got a lot of sort of African kind of influences to it. I think it's actually a really groovy tune, and I want to dance to it.
Sounds like the soundtrack to Lion King.
Yeah, but that's also pretty groovy. I mean, you know, expand your horizons, man.
Or the soundtrack to a bad Adam Sandler's film. But no, I'm joking.
Like I said, they're all bad.
let's leave it to yourself to judge. I shouldn't try to influence you first. But first, we're going to play.
Because as everyone knows, you know, people are susceptible to Simon's bullshit.
Yeah, it's true. But first, we're going to play War Baby with Master Blaster. We'll be back next week at 11 for another half-hour sketch comedy, followed by the White Noise after show.
Sadly, less porn next time, I imagine.
Unfortunately. Unless, if you've got a good, another
you've
discussion
got some porn,
on porn.
Send it in
not
to whitenoiseubc.com.
If you've got any...
We take amateur, professional.
whitenoiseubc@gmail.com.
All races, all sexualities.
no dick pics, no. Please.
Yeah, well, unless they're like 9 inches. And then we'll just send a message back going... Yeah. Fucking bollocks.
How could you tell? They could just take a really close photo
well,
of it.
And... Yeah, please include a banana scale.
Yeah, no. Well, no, a ruler, because banana could be any size. It could be a plantain or something, you know.
Please include a plantain for scale.
But thank you very much for listening, if you're for some reason still there.
You're listening to our nonsense.
It was profound insight into the education system of Canada.
Some interesting sentences.
I think we balanced the two.
Words came out that probably weren't too badly selected.
We do try. We do. We pretend we don't, but we do. All right, so we'll see you next week. Thank you so much for listening. And this is War Baby with Master Blaster. Yes. Good morning?
It's past 12. It's morning, technically.
All right, fair dues. Have a good morning.
minority domination.
Dilale yopu fusarifi, hamni magi ondong alaydo. Nani may gisek dini gisek, nonu lanyu mute manang nyo. Lolo boko defendi na chibek, te hamni devoy lipak, lolo mo chika. Fulla fayda, ome fulla fayda yo, alim yo ni de. Fulla fayda, ome fulla fayda yo, alim yo ni de. Fulla fayda, ome fulla fayda yo, alim yo ni de.
Daffodil month, add a spring to your step.